Chapter 23. The wail of the alarm sounded over the overhead speaker, and a few seconds later, the turbolift car came to an abrupt halt. Blast! One of the two gunners who had replaced the service techs in the car muttered, digging a small ID card from the slot behind his belt buckle. Don't they ever get tired of running drills up there on the bridge?
Talk like that, you might get a face-to-face with a stormtrooper squad,
the second warned, throwing a sideways glance at Luke and the others. Stepping past the first gunner, he slid his ID card into a slot on the control board and tapped in a confirmation code.
It was a lot worse before the Grand Admiral took over. Anyway, what do you want him to do, announce snap drills in advance?
Oh, things burning useless, if you ask me,
the first growled, clearing his ID the same way.
Who they expect's gonna come aboard anyway? Some burning pirate gang or something?
Luke glanced questioningly at Card, wondering what they should do. But Mara was already moving toward the two gunners. The ID from her borrowed flight suit in hand, she stepped between them, reached the ID toward the slot, and whipped the edge of her hand hard into the side of the first gunner's neck. The man's head snapped sideways, and he toppled to the floor without a sound. The second gunner had just enough time to gurgle something unintelligible before Mara sent him to join his friend.
Come on, let's get out of here, she snapped, feeling along the line where the door fitted into the car's cylindrical wall. Locked solid. Come on, Skywalker, get busy here.
Luke ignited his lightsaber.
How much time have we got?
He asked as he carved a narrow exit through part of the door.
Not much, Mara said grimly.
Turbolift cars have sensors that keep track of the number of people inside. It'll give us maybe another minute to do our ID checks before reporting us to the system computer. I need to get to a terminal before the flag transfers from there to the main computer and brings the stormtroopers down on top of us.
Luke finished the cut and closed down the lightsaber as Mara and Card lifted the section down and out of the way. Beyond was the tunnel wall, not quite in line with the hole.
Good, Mara said, easing through the gap. We were starting to rotate when the system froze down. There's room here to get into the tunnel.
The others followed. The turbolift tunnel was roughly rectangular in cross-section, with gleaming guide rails along the walls, ceiling, and floor. Luke could feel the tingle of electric fields as he passed close behind the rails, and he made a mental note not to touch them.
Where are we going?
He whispered down the tunnel toward Mara.
Right here,
she whispered back, stopping at a red-rimmed plate set in the wall between the guide rails.
Access tunnel. Should lead back to a service droid storage room and a computer terminal.
The lightsaber made quick work of the access panel's safety interlock. Mara darted through the opening, blaster in hand, and disappeared down the dark tunnel beyond. Luke and Card followed past a double row of deactivated maintenance droids, each with a bewildering array of tools fanned out from their limbs as if for inspection. Beyond the droids, the tunnel widened into a small room where, as predicted, a terminal sat nestled amid the tubes and cables. Mara was already hunched over it, but as Luke stepped into the room, he caught the sudden shock in her sense.
What's the matter?
He asked.
They've shut down the main computer, she said, a stunned expression on her face. Not just bypassed or put it on standby. Shut it down.
The Grand Admiral must have figured out you can get into it,
Card said, coming up behind Luke.
We'd better get moving. Do you have any idea where we are?
I think we're somewhere above the aft hangar bays, Mara said. Those service techs got off just forward of the central crew section, and we hadn't gone very far down yet.
Above the hangar bays, Card repeated thoughtfully.
Near the vehicle deep storage area, in other words.
Mara frowned at him.
Are you suggesting we grab a ship from up there?
Why not?
Card countered.
They'll probably be expecting us to go directly to one of the hangar bays. They might not be watching for us to come in via vehicle lift from deep storage.
And if they are, it'll leave us trapped like Clip Minox when the stormtroopers come to get us,
Mara retorted.
Trying to shoot our way out of deep storage.
Hold it. Luke cut her off, Jedi combat senses tingling a warning.
Someone's coming.
Mara muttered a curse and dropped down behind the computer terminal, blaster trained on the door.
Card, still weaponless, faded back into the partial cover of the service tunnel and the maintenance droids lined up there. Luke flattened himself against the walls beside the door, lightsaber held ready but not ignited. He let the force flow through him as he poised for action. Listening to the dark, purposeful senses of the troops coming up to the door, and recognizing to his regret that no subtle mind touches would accomplish anything here. Gripping his lightsaber tightly, he waited. Abruptly, with only a flicker of warning, the door slid open, and two stormtroopers were in the room, blaster rifles at the ready. Luke raised his lightsaber, thumb on the activation switch, and from the tunnel where Card had disappeared, a floodlight suddenly winked on, accompanied by the sound of metal grinding against metal. The stormtroopers took a long step into the room, angling to opposite sides of the door, their blaster rifles swinging reflexively toward the light and sound as two black-clad naval troopers crowded into the room behind them. The stormtroopers spotted Mara crouching beside the terminal, and the blaster rifles changed direction to track back toward her. Mara was faster. Her blaster spat four times, two shots per stormtrooper, and both Imperials dropped to the floor, one with blaster still firing uselessly in death reflex. The naval troopers behind them dived for cover, firing wildly toward their attacker. A single sweep of the lightsaber caught them both. Luke closed down the weapon and ducked his head out the doorway for a quick look around. "All clear," he told Mara, coming back in.
"For now, anyway,"
she countered, holstering her blaster and picking up two of the blaster rifles.
"Come on."
Card was waiting for them at the access panel they'd come in by.
"Doesn't sound like the turbolifts have been reactivated yet," he said. "It should be safe to move through the tunnels a while longer. Any trouble with the search party?"
"No,"
Mara said, handing him one of the blaster rifles.
"Effective diversion, by the way."
"Thank you," Card said. "Maintenance droids are such useful things to have around. Deep storage."
"Deep storage,"
Mara agreed heavily.
"You just better be right about this."
"My apologies in advance if I'm not. Let's go."
Slowly, by comlink and intercom, the reports began to come in. They weren't encouraging.
"No sign of them anywhere in the detention level area,"
a stormtrooper commander reported to Pelion, with a distracted air of someone trying to hold one conversation while listening to another.
"One of the waste chute gratings in detention has been found cut open. That must be how they got Card out."
"Never mind how they got him out,"
Pelion growled.
"The recriminations can wait until later. The important thing right now is to find them."
"The security teams are searching the area of that turbolift alert," the other said,
his tone implying that anything a stormtrooper commander said must by definition be important.
"So far, there's been no contact."
Thrawn turned from the two communications officers who had been relaying messages for him to and from the hangar bays.
"How was the waste chute grating cut open?"
he asked.
"I have no information on that," the commander said.
"Get it,"
Thrawn said, his tone icy.
"Also inform your search parties that two maintenance techs have reported seeing a man in a TIE fighter flight suit in the vicinity of that waste collector. Warn your guards in the aft hangar bays as well."
"Yes, sir,"
the commander said. Pelion looked at Thrawn.
"I don't see how it matters right now how they got caught out, sir,"
he said.
"Wouldn't our resources be better spent in finding them?"
"Are you suggesting that we send all our soldiers and stormtroopers converging on the hangar bays?"
Thrawn asked mildly.
"That we thereby assume our quarry won't seek to cause damage elsewhere before attempting their escape?"
"No, sir,"
Pelion said, feeling his face warming.
"I realize we need to protect the entire ship. It just seems to me to be a low-priority line of inquiry."
"Indulge me, Captain,"
Thrawn said quietly.
"It's only a hunch, but..."
"Admiral," the stormtrooper commander interrupted. "Report from our search, Team 207, on Deck 98, Nexus 326KK.
Pelion's fingers automatically started for his keyboard, came up short as he remembered that there was no computer mapping available to pinpoint the location for him.
"They found Team 102, all dead,"
the commander continued.
"Two were killed by blaster fire.
The other two...
He hesitated.
There seems to be some confusion about the other two.
No confusion, Commander,
Thrawn put in, his voice suddenly deadly.
Instruct them to look for near microscopic cuts across the bodies, with partial cauterization.
Pelion stared at him. There was a cold fire in the Grand Admiral's eyes that hadn't been there before.
Partial cauterization? He repeated stupidly.
And then inform them, Thrawn continued, that one of the intruders is the Jedi Luke Skywalker.
Pelion felt his mouth drop open.
Skywalker? He gasped. That's impossible. He's on Jomark with Sabaoth.
Was, Captain,
Thrawn corrected icily.
He's here now.
He took a deep, controlled breath, and as he let it out, the momentary anger seemed to fade away.
Obviously, our vaunted Jedi Master failed to keep him there as he claimed he'd be able to. And I'd say that now we have our proof that Skywalker's escape from Murker wasn't a spur-of-the-moment decision.
You think Card and the Rebellion have been working together all along?
Pelion asked.
We'll find out soon enough,
Thrawn told him, turning to look over his shoulder.
Rook?
The silent gray figure moved to Thrawn's side.
Yes, my lord.
Get a squad of non-combat personnel together, Thrawn ordered. Have them collect all the Islamari from the engineering and systems control and move them down to the hangar bays. There aren't nearly enough to cover the whole area, so use your hunter's instincts on their placement. The more we can hamper Skywalker's Jedi tricks, the less trouble we'll have taking him.
The Nogri nodded and headed for the bridge exit.
We could also use the Islamari from the bridge,
Pelion began.
Quiet a moment, Captain.
Thrawn cut him off, his glowing eyes gazing unseeing through the side viewport and the edge of the planet turning beneath them.
I need to think. Yes. They'll try to travel in concealment whenever possible, I think. For now, that means the turbolift tunnels.
He gestured to the two communications officers still standing beside his chair.
Order turbolift control to put the system back into normal service except for the 326KK nexus between Deck 98 and the aft hangar bays, he instructed them. All cars in that area are to be moved to the nearest cluster point and remain locked there until further notice.
One of the officers nodded and began relaying the order into his comlink.
You're trying to herd them toward the hangar bays,
Pelion hazarded.
I'm trying to herd them in from a specific direction, yes.
Thrawn nodded. His forehead was creased with thought, his eyes still gazing at nothing in particular. The question is what they'll do once they realize that.
Presumably try to break out of the Nexus, but in which direction? I doubt they'll be foolish enough to return to the supply ship,
Pelion suggested.
My guess is that they'll bypass the aft hangar bays entirely and drive for one of the assault shuttles in the forward bays.
Perhaps, Thrawn agreed slowly. If Skywalker is directing the escape, I'd say that was likely. But if Card is giving the orders...
He fell silent again, deep in thought. It was somewhere to start anyway.
Have extra guards placed around the assault shuttles,
Pelion ordered the stormtrooper commander.
Better put some men inside the ships, too, in case the intruders make it that far.
No. They won't make for the shuttles if Card's in command,
Thrawn murmured.
He's more apt to try something less obvious. Perhaps TIE fighters. Or perhaps he'll return to the supply shuttles after all, assuming we won't expect that.
Or else...
Abruptly, his head snapped around to look at Pelion.
The Millennium Falcon,
he demanded.
Where is it?
Ugh!
Again, Pelion's hand reached uselessly for his command board.
I ordered it sent to deep storage, sir. I don't know whether or not the order's been carried out.
Thrawn jabbed a finger at the stormtrooper commander. You, get someone on the hangar bay computer and find that ship. Then get a squad there. The Grand Admiral looked at Pelion, and for the first time since ordering the intruder alert, he smiled.
We have them, Captain.
Card pulled away the section of cable duct that Luke had cut and carefully looked through the opening.
No one seems to be around,
he murmured over his shoulder, his voice almost inaudible over the background rumble of machinery coming through from the room beyond.
I think we've beaten them here.
If they're coming at all, Luke said. They're coming, Mara growled. Bet on it. If there was one thing Thrawn had over all the other Grand Admirals, it was a knack of predicting his enemy's strategy.
There are half a dozen ships out there, Kart continued. Unmarked intelligence ships from the look of them. Any would probably do.
Any idea where we are? Luke asked, trying to see past him through the cable duct. There was a fair amount of empty space out there surrounding the ships, plus a gaping light-rimmed opening in the deck that was presumably the shaft of a heavy vehicle lift. Unlike the one he remembered from the Death Star's hangar bay, though, this shaft had a corresponding hole in the ceiling above it to allow ships to be moved farther up toward the Star Destroyer's core.
We're near the bottom of the deep storage section, I think, Card told him. A deck or two above the aft hangar bays. The chief difficulty will be if the lift itself is a deck down, blocking us from access to the bay and entry port.
Well, let's get in there and find out, Mara said, fingering her blaster rifle restlessly. Waiting here won't gain us anything.
Agreed.
Card cocked his head to the side.
I think I hear the lift coming now. They're slow, though, and there's enough cover by the ships. Skywalker?
Luke ignited his lightsaber again, and quickly cut them a hole large enough to get through. Card went first, followed by Luke, with Mara bringing up the rear. The hangar bay computer lake is over there, Mara said, pointing to a freestanding console to their right as they crouched beside a battered-looking light freighter. As soon as the lift passes, I'll see if I can get us into it.
All right. But don't take too long at it, Card warned. A fake transfer order won't gain us enough surprise to be worth any further delay.
The top of a ship was becoming visible now, as it was lifted from the hangar base below. A ship that seemed remarkably familiar. Luke felt his mouth drop open in surprise. That's... No. No, it can't be. It is, Mara said. I'd forgotten. The Grand Admiral mentioned they were taking it aboard when I talked to him at Endor. Luke stared, a cold lump forming in his throat as the Millennium Falcon rose steadily up through the opening. Leia and Chewbacca had been aboard that ship. Did he say anything about prisoners? Not to me, Mara said. I got the impression he'd found the ship deserted. Which meant that wherever Leia and Chewbacca had gone, they were now stranded there. But there was no time to worry about that now. We're taking it back, he told the others, stuffing his lightsaber into his flight suit tunic. Cover me. Skywalker! Mara hissed. But Luke was already jogging toward the shaft. The lift plate itself came into view, revealing two men riding alongside the Falcon, a naval trooper and a tech with what looked like a combined datapad/control unit. They caught sight of Luke. Hey! Luke called, waving as he hurried toward them. Hold on! The tech did something with his datapad and the lift stopped, and Luke could sense the sudden suspicion in the trooper's mind. Got new orders on that one, he said as he trotted up to them. The Grand Admiral wants it moved back down. Something about using it as bait. The tech frowned down at his datapad. He was young, Luke saw, probably not out of his teens. There's nothing about new orders here, he objected.
I haven't heard anything about it either, the trooper growled, drawing his blaster and pointing it vaguely in Luke's direction as he threw a quick look around the storage room.
It just came through a minute ago, Luke said, nodding back toward the computer console. Stuff's not transferring very fast today for some reason.
Makes a good story anyway,
the trooper retorted. His blaster was now very definitely pointed at Luke.
Let's see some ID, huh?
Luke shrugged, and reaching out through the force, he yanked the blaster out of the trooper's hand. The man didn't even pause to gape at the unexpected loss of his weapon. He threw himself forward, hands stretching toward Luke's neck. The blaster, heading straight toward Luke, suddenly reversed direction. The trooper caught the butt end full in the stomach, coughed once in strangled agony, and fell unmoving to the deck. I'll take that, Luke told the tech, waving Card and Mara to join him. The tech, his face a rather motley gray, handed the datapad to him without a word.
Good job, Card said as he came up beside Luke.
Relax, we're not going to hurt you,
he added to the tech, squatting down and relieving the gasping trooper of his comlink.
Not if you behave, anyway. Take your friend to that electrical closet over there and lock yourselves in.
The tech glanced at him, looked again at Luke, and gave a quick nod. Hoisting the trooper under the armpits, he dragged him off.
Make sure they get settled all right, and then join me in the ship,
Card told Luke.
I'm going to get the pre-flight started. Are there any security codes I need to know about?
I don't think so. Luke glanced around the room, spotted Mara already busy with the computer console. The Falcon's hard enough to keep functional as it is.
All right. Remind Mara not to waste too much time fiddling with that computer.
He ducked under the ship and disappeared up the ramp. Luke waited until the tech had locked himself and the trooper into the electrical closet as ordered, and then followed.
It has a remarkably fast startup sequence,
Card remarked as Luke joined him in the cockpit.
2 minutes, maybe three, and we'll be ready to fly. You still have that controller?
Right here, Luke said, handing it to him. I'll go get Mara. He glanced out the cockpit window, just as a wide door across the room slid open to reveal a full squad of stormtroopers.
Uh-oh,
Card murmured, as the 8 white-armored Imperials marched purposefully toward the Falcon.
Do they know we're here?
Luke stretched out his senses, trying to gauge the stormtrooper's mental state.
I don't think so, he murmured back. They seem to be thinking more like guards than soldiers.
Probably too noisy in here for them to hear the engines in startup mode,
Card said, ducking down in his seat out of their direct view.
Mara was right about the Grand Admiral, but we seem to be a step ahead of him.
A sudden thought struck Luke, and he threw a look through the side of the canopy. Mara was crouching beside the computer console, temporarily hidden from the stormtrooper's view. But she wouldn't remain concealed for long. And knowing Mara, she wouldn't just sit and wait for the Imperials to notice her. If there were only some way he could warn her not to fire on them yet.
Perhaps there was. Mara, he sensed silently, trying to picture her in his mind. Wait until I give the word before you attack.
There was no reply, but he saw her throw a quick look at the Falcon in response and ease farther back into her limited cover.
I'm going back to the hatchway, he told Card. I'll try to catch them in a crossfire with Mara. Stay out of sight up here.
Right.
Keeping down, Luke hurried back down the short cockpit corridor. Barely in time, even as he came to the hatchway, he could feel the vibration of battle-armored boots on the entry ramp. 4 of them were coming in, he could sense, with the other 4 fanning out beneath the ship to watch the approaches. Another second and they would see him. A second after that, and someone would notice Mara.
Mara, now!
There was a flash of blaster fire from Mara's position, coming quickly enough on the tail of his command that Luke got the distinct impression Mara had planned to attack at that time, whether she'd had his permission or not. Igniting his lightsaber, Luke leaped around the corner onto the ramp, catching the stormtroopers just as they were starting to turn toward the threat behind them. His first sweep took off the barrel of the lead stormtrooper's blaster rifle. Reaching out with the force, he gave the man a hard shove, pushing him into his companions and sending the whole bunch of them tumbling helplessly down to the lift plate. Jumping off the ramp to the side, he deflected a shot from another stormtrooper and sliced the lightsaber blade across him. Caught 6 more shots before Mara's blaster fire took the next one out. A quick look showed that she'd already dealt with the other 2. A surge in the force spun him around, to find that the group he'd sent rolling to the bottom of the ramp had untangled themselves. With a shout, he charged them, lightsaber swinging in large circles as he waited for Mara to take advantage of his distraction to fire on them. But she didn't. And with the blaster bolts beginning to flash in at him, there weren't many alternatives left. The lightsaber slashed 4 times, and it was over. Breathing hard, he closed down the lightsaber, and with a shock, discovered why Mara hadn't been firing there at the end. The lift carrying the Falcon was dropping steadily down toward the deck below, well past the point where the stormtroopers would be out of Mara's line of fire.
Mara!
He called, looking up.
Yeah, what?
She shouted back, coming into view at the rim of the lift, already 5 meters above him.
What's Card doing?
I guess we're leaving,
Luke said. Jump! I'll catch you! An expression of annoyance flickered across Mara's face, but the Falcon was receding fast, and she obeyed without hesitation. Reaching out with the Force, Luke caught her in an invisible grip, slowing her descent and landing her on the Falcon's ramp. She hit the ramp running and was inside in 3 steps. She was seated beside Card in the cockpit by the time Luke got the hatchway sealed and made it up there himself. Better strap in, she called over her shoulder. Luke sat down behind her, suppressing the urge to order her out of the co-pilot seat. He knew the Falcon far better than either she or Card did, but both of them probably had had more experience flying this general class of ship. And from the looks of things, there was some tricky flying coming up. Through the cockpit canopy, Luke could see that they were coming down, not into a hangar bay as he'd hoped, but into a wide vehicle corridor equipped with what looked like some kind of repulsor lift pads set across the deck. What happened with the computer? He asked Mara. I couldn't get in, Mara said. Though it wouldn't have mattered if I had. That stormtrooper squad had plenty of time to call for help. Unless you thought to jam their comlinks, she added, looking at Card.
Come now, Mara, Card chided. Of course I jammed their comlinks. Unfortunately, since they probably had orders to report once they were in position, we still won't have more than a few minutes, if that much.
Is that our way out? Luke frowned, looking along the corridor. I thought we'd be taking the lift straight down to the hangar bays.
This lift doesn't seem to go all the way down, Card said. Offset from the hangar bay shaft, apparently. That lighted hole in the corridor deck ahead is probably it.
What then? Luke asked.
We'll see if this control can operate that lift, Card said, holding up the data pad he'd taken from the tech. I doubt it, though. If only for security, they'll probably have...
Look! Mara snapped, pointing down the corridor. Far ahead down the corridor was another lift plate, moving down toward the lighted opening Card had pointed out a moment earlier. If that was indeed the exit to the hangar bays, and if the lift plate stopped there, blocking their way... Card had apparently had the same thought. Abruptly, Luke was slammed hard into his seat as the Falcon leaped forward, clearing the edge of their lift plate and shooting down the corridor like a scalded tauntaun. For a moment, it yawed wildly back and forth, swinging perilously near the corridor walls as the ship's repulsor lifts strobed with those built into the deck. Clenching his teeth, Luke watched as the lift plate ahead steadily closed the gap, the same bitter taste of near helplessness in his mouth that he remembered from the Rancor pit beneath Jabba the Hutt's throne room. The Force was with him here, as it had been there, but at the moment he couldn't think of a way to harness that power. The Falcon shot toward the descending plate. He braced himself for the seemingly inevitable collision. And abruptly, with a short screech of metal against metal, they were through the gap. The Falcon rolled over once as it dropped through to the huge room below, cleared the vertical lift plate guides. And there, straight ahead, as Card righted them again, was the wide hangar entry port. And beyond it, the black of deep space. A half dozen blaster bolts sizzled at them, as they shot across the hangar bay above the various ships parked there. But the shooting was reflexive, without any proper setup or aiming, and for the most part the shots went wild. A near miss flashed past the cockpit canopy, and then they were out, jolting through the atmosphere barrier and diving down out of the entry port toward the planet below. And as they did so, Luke caught a glimpse across the entry port of TIE fighters from the forward hangar bay scrambling to intercept. Come on, Mara, he said, slipping off his restraints. You know how to handle a quad laser battery?
No, I need her here, Card said.
He had the Falcon skimming the underside of the Star Destroyer now, heading for the ship's port side edge.
You go ahead and take the dorsal gun bay. I think I can arrange for them to concentrate their attack from that direction.
Luke had no idea how he was going to accomplish that, but there was no time to discuss it. Already the Falcon was starting to jolt with laser hits. And from experience, he knew there was only so much the ship's deflector shields could handle. Leaving the cockpit, he hurried to the gunwale ladder, leaping halfway up, then climbing the rest of the way. He strapped in, fired up the quads, and as he looked around, he discovered what Card had had in mind. The Falcon had curved up past the port side edge of the Chimera, swung aft along the upper surface,
and was now driving hard for deep space on a vector directly above the exhaust from the Star Destroyer's massive sublight drive nozzles. Skimming rather too close to it, in Luke's opinion. But it was for sure that no TIE fighters would be coming at them from underneath for a while. The intercom pinged in his ear.
Skywalker?
Card's voice came.
They're almost here. You ready?
I'm ready, Luke assured him. Fingers resting lightly on the firing controls, he focused his mind and let the Force flow into him. The battle was furious but short, in some ways reminding Luke of the Falcon's escape from the Death Star so long ago. Back then, Leia had recognized that they'd gotten away too easily, and as the TIE fighters swarmed and fired and exploded around him, Luke wondered uneasily whether or not the Imperials might have something equally devious in mind this time, too. And then the sky flared with starlines and went mottled, and they were free. Luke took a deep breath as he cut power to the quads.
Good flying, he said into the intercom.
Thank you.
Card's dry voice came back.
We seem to be more or less clear, though we took some damage around the starboard power converter pack. Mara's going to check it out.
We can manage without it, Luke said. Han's got the whole ship so cross-wired that it'll fly with half the systems out. Where are we headed?
Coruscant. To drop you off, and also to follow through on the promise I made to you earlier.
Luke had to search his memory. You mean that bit about the New Republic standing to gain from your rescue?
That's the one. As I recall Solo's sales pitch to me back on Merkur, your people are in need of transport ships, correct?
Badly in need of them. You have some stashed away?
Not exactly stashed away, but it won't be too hard to put my hands on them. What do you think the New Republic would say to approximately 200 pre-Clone Wars vintage Dreadnought-class heavy cruisers?
Luke felt his mouth fall open. Growing up on Tatooine had been a sheltered experience, but it hadn't been that sheltered. You don't mean the Dark Force?
Come on down and we'll discuss it. Oh, and I wouldn't mention it to Mara just yet.
I'll be right there. Turning off the intercom, Luke hung the headset back on its hook and climbed onto the ladder. And for once, he didn't even notice the discontinuity as the gravity field changed direction partway down the ladder. The Millennium Falcon shot away from the Chimera, outmaneuvering and outgunning its pursuing TIE fighters, and driving hard for deep space. Pelion sat at his station, hands curled into fists, watching the drama in helpless silence. Helpless, because with the main computer still only partially operational, the Chimera's sophisticated weapons and tractor beam systems were useless against a ship that small, that fast, and that distant. Silent, because the disaster was far beyond the scope of any of his repertoire of curses. The ship flickered and was gone, and Pelion prepared himself for the worst. The worst didn't come.
Recall the TIE fighters to their stations, Captain, Thrawn said,
his voice showing no sign of strain or anger.
Secure from intruder alert, and as systems control, continue bringing the main computer back online. Oh, and the supply unloading can be resumed.
Yes, sir,
Pelion said, throwing a surreptitious frown at his superior. Had Thrawn somehow missed the significance of what had just happened out there? The glowing red eyes glinted as Thrawn looked at him.
We've lost a round, Captain, he said. No more.
It seems to me, Admiral, that we've lost far more than that,
Pelion growled.
There's no chance that Card won't give the Katana fleet to the Rebellion now.
Ah, but he won't simply give it to them,
Thrawn corrected almost lazily.
Card's pattern has never been to give anything away for free. He'll attempt to bargain, or else will set conditions the Rebellion will find unsatisfactory. The negotiations will take time, particularly given the suspicious political atmosphere we've taken such pains to create on Coruscant. And a little time is all we need.
Pelion shook his head.
You're assuming that ship thief Farrier will be able to find the Corellian Group ship supplier before Card and the Rebellion work out their differences.
There's no assumption involved, Thrawn said softly. Farrier is even now on the Solo's trail,
and has extrapolated his destination for us. And thanks to Intelligence's excellent work on Card's background, I know exactly who the man is we'll be meeting at the end of that trail. He gazed out the viewport at the returning TIE fighters. Instruct navigation to prepare a course for the Pantolomin system, Captain, he said, his voice thoughtful. Departure to be as soon as the supply shuttles have been unloaded.
Yes, sir,
Pelion said, nodding the order onto the navigator and doing a quick calculation in his head. Time for the Millennium Falcon to reach Coruscant. Time for the Chimera to reach Pantolomin.
Yes,
Thrawn said into his thoughts. Now it's a race.